Amen. Oh, I'm glad to be here today. I like this cool weather. Wish I could soak some of it up and save it till August, don't you? For the record, and it does you absolutely no good whatsoever, but I had a PowerPoint presentation to accompany the lesson today with some pictures of some of our children in Vacation Bible School, and found out this morning that my PowerPoint presentation is too new for what we have here, so it's not going to work. So we stepped up to the plate and struck out one time here. But I'm a man with a mission today. I have something that I want to accomplish with you, and you'll know what that is as this lesson develops. 3 months ago, I sat in the courtroom and heard a judge say, 20 years. He was pronouncing punishment for drinking, gambling, and robbery, which ended in a shooting and near death of a man. The sentence might have been lighter, but my son took a sneering, defiant attitude all through the trial, ridiculing every law enforcement officer who spoke to him. But the climax came when the judge asked, "Young man, don't you believe in God?" My son laughed loud and long as he said, "God? Who's that?" Every eye in the courtroom turned to look at me. I went to Sunday school and church when I was small and learned about God. After I was married, I decided to go again and take my children. I couldn't persuade my spouse to go, but the children and I went regularly. For a year or so, we went every Sunday, and then we began to miss now and then. Then, three times in a row. Then we began to go only on special days. After that time, I joined a golfing team that competed on Sunday afternoons. I couldn't get to church and get ready to leave in time to golf, and golfing was such fun. If only I had those years to live over. Night after night, I've paced the floor with the words, "God, who's that?" echoing in my ears. My son was 13 when the police first came as I was leaving with my golf bag. I waited impatiently while the officers told me about my son being caught breaking a window the night before. I brushed the warning aside to go my merry way. The years went by to end with such finality in that courtroom. While I think of the wasted years of having fun instead of meeting God at His appointed place, I'm sick with shame. I'm trying to make restitution by urging others to continue going with their children. So many good people say they don't believe in making a child go to church if he doesn't want to. But how many children would go to school daily if they were not made to go? Ask any school for the answer. If I had only continued my son's religious training when I should have, when he was still young, I'm sure his later life, his actions, and his attitude would have been different. I know that I must answer to God for my failure. I want to say at the very outset of this lesson that it is not in any way my intention to bring pain to those parents who have children who have been unfaithful or who have been rebellious, but rather to encourage us as adults to become meaningfully involved in the lives of the children in our families, extended families, in the church, and in this community. Because I believe that we owe a responsibility to young people, not only to those in our immediate family, but to the young people that are all around us, to help them in every way that we can. And so I'd like to just very briefly touch on what children need from their home, from the home life. I'm, by the way, not one of those that really ascribe to the concept that it takes a village to raise a child. I think it's wonderful to have additional people involved in helping rear your child, but I think what it takes to rear a child is a home. And there are some things that we need in the home, that we need from a home as young people. And one of the things is that we need a father and a mother who are committed to each other, because that provides the security that a child needs. I don't know about you, but I can still remember back in my early childhood years that there were certain fears that I have. I don't know if I was different from other kids in that, or maybe the intensity of it, but I can remember many nights lying awake being concerned about things and not being able to sleep as a child. And whenever someone talks about the carefree years of childhood, I don't know what those are. I'm not sure that they're real, because there are lots of cares and concerns in childhood. In fact, when I hear someone say that they wish they could go back and relive those years, then I wonder, because I think, well, you certainly had a different experience than I did, because I'm glad I made it through it one time, and I surely don't want to go back through and try it again. So one of the things that we need as children is we need some security, and the greatest security that you can have in this life as a child is to have a mom and dad who are committed to one another. There is so very little security in this world. Back in 1968, no, that's not true, the late 80s, 1987, there was a folk singer by the name of Suzanne Vega who sang a song, and I can still remember the first time that I heard it. And it'll probably ring with some of you, even though I won't make you raise your hand, because you'll be telling something about your age. But it's one of the most haunting songs that I've ever heard. And I still remember it. Now, I don't remember all the words of it, but I went back and checked it out. And the name of the song is My Name is Luca. Any of you remember that? My name is Luca. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Maybe it's because I'm clumsy. I try not to talk too loud. Maybe it's because I'm crazy. I try not to act too proud. They only hit you until you cry. And after that, you don't ask why. You just don't argue anymore. Yes, I think I'm okay. Walked into the door again. If you ask me, that's what I'll say. And it's not your business anyway. I guess I'd like to be alone with nothing broken, nothing thrown. Just don't ask me how I am. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. They only hit you until you cry. And after that, you don't ask why. You just don't argue anymore. My name is Luca. Now, you understand why that's such an incredible... If you heard the tune to it and heard it sung, it's even more incredible. The second thing that children need from home is a mother and a father who are not only committed to each other, but they're committed to the Lord. And that has a lot to do with where you'll go in your future. Many of you in this room had a mother and a father who were committed to each other and were committed to the Lord. And your life has been incredibly blessed because of that. But there are others who had neither a mother and a father who were committed to each other, nor were committed to the Lord. But children need a mother and a father that they can look up to, who are committed not so much to a job, not so much to pleasure and hobbies, not so much to accumulating money, not so much to having fun with friends, but to the Lord. And not just being involved in the Lord's work, but being committed to it. Making that as the first priority in our lives. And young people need encouragement, not criticism. They get enough criticism. And it's so easy to fall as parents into a rut of criticizing our children. We don't even realize what we're doing. But children need encouragement from mom and dad. They need a mom and dad who will picture a bright future for them and say, you can be this. And begin to involve themselves to bring that about in their life. And they need the proper discipline. They need to learn how to discipline their lives. They need a mom and dad who love them enough to consistently discipline them in their lives with a loving discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. And then the third thing that children need, or a third thing that children need from the home, is an unswerving commitment to teach and live biblical principles in the church, in the home, and in the business world. That they can see a model in their parents. And the motto of our homes need to be, this home is guided by God. And not by my peers and not by your peers as children. But God is the one who dictates in this home what we do. And be able to sit down with your children when they have questions and be able to open your Bible up and say, this is why we do what we do in this home. And I know that that's radically different from the homes of your friends. And then one day, maybe you'll be blessed like I was when my oldest daughter went to a camp, a leadership camp in high school. And she came home after that in shell shock. Because in that camp, they got the kids to open up and talk about their homes. And she heard about abuse. And she heard about children who, and young people, her peers, who were living in homes that were absolute nightmares. And she came home in tears and sat down and thanked her mom and I for having, she said, it seemed to me like the only stable home out of the whole entire group. To the degree that that's true, and I'm not making any grandiose claims for my home, but to the degree that that's true, it's because we're not afraid to do something different than the world. But we have tried in our home to make the Lord the way that our home operates. And when our children had some questions about why can't we do this and why do we do this, then we did our best to open our Bibles up and sit down and give them a reason beyond just because I said so. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time that you finally pulled that string. But it's not all the time. And give children the right and the opportunity to ask questions about why do we do it this way? Because they're learning from you. They need to know that what we wear and where we go and what we do for entertainment and who our friends are determined by God. And not by my peers and not by your peers. Now, I realize that there are homes that are not able to provide all of these things for the children in it. But I want you to know that here at Woodland Oaks, we're committed to families. And we realize that we have not only a responsibility to our own children, but we have a responsibility and a desire to help with the families in the church and in this community. And because we know that sometimes, in spite of our very best efforts, marriages and families struggle and sometimes fail. But we also want you to know that no one here claims to be perfect. We've all stepped up to the plate and we've struck out. We've all made mistakes in our lives. And I want you to know, and we want you to know, that God doesn't quit loving you when that happens. We sometimes feel like that whenever something goes awry in our life or in our family, then we've disappointed God and God doesn't love us anymore. I want you to know that that's not the case. Absolutely not the case. You don't quit loving your children when they make a mistake, do you? He gives us other fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters who love us. The church. Our family. And we are a family here. We are a family as a whole. And your children are my children. And I have a responsibility to those children, as we all do. People who care in this church, in this family, have planned two events in the next few weeks for your children and our family. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because I want to encourage you to sign up for at least one, hopefully both of those events before you leave here today. There will be sign-up tables. There are sign-up tables in our foyer on your way out. The first one, you have a bulletin insert, the blue insert. And if you'd like to look at it, I invite you to do that. It's a family camp. Last year was the first year that this congregation made an effort toward this. I was not present. I look forward to being a part of that this year. But there were, I understand, 60-plus people for the first time, which is a really great start. And we hope to build on that so that it will be three and four times that much sometime in the relatively near future. The elders recognize the value of this camp, so much so that they are, the church, you are helping to subsidize the cost of that this year. I don't know anywhere that you'll be able to go and be with good friends and the kind of people that you'll be with to stay in a nice place, have the food provided for you, and even get a T-shirt, spend two nights for $80 for all that. Now, that's a bargain on top of everything else, isn't it? I mean, you'll get by cheaply. You probably would spend more than that if you stayed at home. Those organizing this want you to know that this is not, there seems to have been a misconception somewhere along the way, that people thought this was for families with children at home exclusively. And it is for families with children at home. But when it says WOCC, Woodland Oaks Church of Christ Family Camp, that is not intended to say families with children at home. That is intended to say that we as a church are a family, and this is a camp for this entire family. And that means every single age group. And the camp is not specifically designed only for those who have children at home and who bring children with them. It's designed for everybody so that we can get to know one another better. We're able to get a little bit better time slot this year than we were last year. There were many more conflicting things in July last time, and so a better time slot. But remember that this camp is for all of us. You've got the information here. And we want to encourage everybody in a family. You need children, you need parents, you need grandparents, great-grandparents. You need everybody to be the kind of family that God wants. And so if you're a single, if you're a retiree, wherever you are, we want you to know that this camp has been designed for you. And I would just, if you're wondering about whether or not you would fit in, then my recommendation to you is that you talk to somebody that went last year. And I think they'll be really happy to tell you that it was one of the best things that happened to them last year. So there is a sign-up table in the back. I want to encourage you to give that serious consideration. If you have some questions about it, then there'll be some folks there to answer your question. Then the second thing that is designed for the next few weeks, and this was supposed to have a PowerPoint accompaniment to it, but we'll do it without it. And that is the Vacation Bible School this year. The dates are June 9 through 12. If you don't have that marked on your calendar, then get you a pen out right now. Write it down. Mark it down so that you'll have that on your calendar. And there is a sign-up sheet for volunteers. And I'm going to list the lists that are out there because I want you, while you're sitting here, while I have you as a captive audience, I want you to think about the volunteers that are needed. And so I'm going to list the volunteer sheets in order of importance. The first one is cookie bakers. Now, I know that's important because there are 36 slots for cookie bakers out there. And so this is really serious business, okay? So sign up, if you can, for baking some cookies. We're going to have lots of kids. There's also a sign-up sheet for hot dog supper. We need a coordinator. We need helpers. We need volunteers for a publicity coordinator, photo coordinator, people to walk around and take pictures, sound booth, someone to operate the sound booth, drama presentation. We need some role players that would be young people and older people. We need people to help decorate. We need puppet leaders and helpers. We need that we'll have five different classes, and we need a leader and two helpers for each one of those classes to just make sure that each group of kids gets from where they are to where they're supposed to be. And it doesn't take a lot of talent to do that, but that's really, really important. When somebody entrusts their children to us, then they have every right to know and be confident that we're going to take care of them. We're not going to lose a kid, and some kid's not going to run off out here somewhere and get injured in any way. So we need a leader and two helpers for each of five classes. Plus, we need some volunteers to help with the outside activities. We need volunteers to help with snacks. And I'll tell you that we already have one volunteer to help sample cookies. And we just need to make sure that they're safe for the kids. And that is, by the way, you don't yet know all of my talents, but that is one of my areas of expertise, that I'm a good cookie taster, and I have credentials to prove that I'm qualified. I am a card-carrying cookie connoisseur. So just keep that in mind if you ever need somebody to taste cookies. We need someone to volunteer to help with crafts. We need volunteers to help with registration. There are 12 sign-up sheets on the table out there. There's a job to fit every level of expertise. And interestingly, and you're not going to get this opportunity many times in life, you can be either a chief or an Indian, whichever one you want to be. You get to choose. You want to be the coordinator. You want to be one of the helpers, one of the workers. If you can color between lines, if you can take some scissors and cut out something out of, if you used to cut out paper dolls and you remember enjoying doing that, and you think you still may be able to do that, if you can write a name on a name tag, if you can hand a cookie to a child, if you can hold a child's hand and walk them from one place to another, then you're qualified. And not only are you qualified, but you're needed. No experience is required. From teens to retirees. Now, it just so happens that I counted all of the blanks on the fill-in for the volunteer sheets. We need, you ready for this? 114 people. That means we need you. Regardless of your age, we need you. If you look on your calendar and you say, well, I'm going to be gone. I've already got something, got a business trip or something planned during that time, or we have something planned during that time, then I want you to know that there are lots of things to be done between now and then. As a matter of fact, most of the work will be done between now and time to start. There are some things that you can take home and work on. There are lots of things that you can do to help. And so as a family, this is a really neat thing. Make sure that you register your child, your grandchild, pick up a registration form, and if you're able to, fill it out today. And this Vacation Bible School will be for children who will be 4 years old by September the 1st through rising sixth graders. Now, do you know what a rising sixth grader is? I never had heard that term before. We don't use that term in Arkansas or Louisiana. And so I had to have it explained to me. And so I'm going to explain it to you. When children get about 10 years old, they get real lazy. And they don't want to get up in the morning. And so if you have a kid that is about 12 years old and you can get them up in time to be at Vacation Bible School, that's a rising sixth grader. Okay? Now, those who are going into the sixth grade for the next year, by necessity, and I hate to say this, but some found this out to their dismay last year, there will be a cutoff number. In other words, there's only so many young people that we can handle at this time, and that cutoff number is 130. You have the first opportunity to sign your children or your grandchildren or whoever you want to up. You have that opportunity today. But it's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis, but you have the first opportunity. And so when we get to 130, then that's going to be where it's cut off. And so make sure that you go ahead and you're serious about it now and you pick up the form necessary to register your child or your grandchild. Now, I want to remind you that this is a really effective outreach to this community. This is certainly for our children, but it's also for the children in this community. And in line with that, and to assist with that, on Thursday night, we'll have a hot dog supper, and we will invite all of the children's families. And you know what happens whenever a child gets up on stage and performs a little bit or sings or something. Not only the moms and dads come, but grandma and grandpa and all the extended relatives come to see the child perform. And so we're going to have the opportunity, this place will be full, we're going to have the opportunity to meet and greet some folks who've never been here before, who live in this area. And so we want to encourage every single person in this congregation. I know that some of you obviously work during the day and you won't be able to be here during Vacation Bible School, but you can be here hopefully on Thursday evening so that you can meet and greet those families and welcome them and be friendly to them and let them know that we are a friendly congregation that's interested in their families. We have a unique opportunity to make a first impression, and you only get one of those. One opportunity to make a good first impression. And we will do that. If you'll come and meet and greet those families in this community who will be here, make your plans to be there that night, regardless of whether or not you're actively involved in VBS during the week or not. There are sign-up sheets in the foyer. There are registration forms on that table. And before you get a donut, you've got to sign up for something today, okay? Not long ago, the parents of a 13-year-old boy who had died from a gunshot wound sat in my office. And you know what they wanted to talk about? Well, I'll tell you, they didn't want to talk about this young man's scholastic ability, even though he was exceptional in that area. And they didn't want to talk about how good an athlete he was, even though he was a star athlete. What they did want to talk about was how often he prayed and what he prayed about. And that's all they wanted to talk about. We have an opportunity. We have two opportunities as a family to help extended families. There are children in our community who need someone to show that they care. And when you do, they'll remember it for the rest of their life. And so I'm asking you on behalf of myself, on behalf of this congregation, on behalf of the Lord, on behalf of the people who are organizing this, on behalf of your family here, to become involved this year. It'd be a great thing if we just filled all those sign-up sheets, filled them up today. And so before you leave today, make sure that you volunteer, you sign up for whatever is needed, whatever, wherever you can fit. If you would, bow with me, please. Dear God, our Father, as we come into your throne room, we thank you that you give us opportunities to serve. We thank you that you give us a family that we can serve with, and we can have fun as we serve you, and we can reach out with your love, and in our lives, and with our hands, and with our voices, we can demonstrate the love that you have for us, and for all, every single person who's alive. And Father, we hurt for those children who feel that they're alone in this world, who feel that there's no one who truly cares. And Father, help us to take to heart the opportunity to reach out to those young people and be able to encourage them, put them on the right path so that they'll live and become strong, productive Christians. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to serve you. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. If there's a need that you have in your life that can be met with a public response, maybe you recognize that you would like to have brothers and sisters just sit down and hold your hand and pray over a problem that you have in your home. Maybe you realize that your priorities have not been sorted in such a way that others are benefiting from your life that you've been living for yourself, and you want to change that. The Lord's given you this opportunity while we stand and sing.